Hey guys, what's up? Zach here at the Zach Shanky Podcast. I think this is the first one I'm doing, outside the house since I moved to Wisconsin. And mainly because, so I'm walking on this trail. You might be able to, I don't know if you can hear the birds and nature and stuff. It's one thing I really liked about growing up around here is there's this park and there's this trail and it's quite gorgeous, actually. But on the other side of the trail, I shouldn't say trail, it's a bike trail, so it's not like dirt, it's meant for a road bike. But on the other side is actually a road, and the other side of that road, there's houses. So I always felt weird talking into my phone, laughing at myself, and people are getting ready for work and leaving their houses. So today I feel pretty good about it because number one, it's a Saturday, people are sleeping in. And number two, it's 5:30 in the morning. So even if they weren't sleeping in, they're probably still sleeping. So anyway, guys, I'm going for a walk. I've been really, really honed in on my health the last 2 weeks. Oh my gosh, I feel so good with that. And I just want to keep it going. I had a little bit of a cheat day yesterday, which was great. And now I'm back on. Today's my kid's birthday, so it'll actually probably be another little cheat day, but it's worth it. My kid, he's turned 19 today. Isn't that crazy? I'm just thinking back to when I was 19 years old and the things that I was going through. You know, I had already been through boot camp and things like that. Anyway, all right, on to the topic for the day. I actually want to talk, I want to brag a little bit, okay? But it's not really, it's a humble brag, okay? Sort of. I just want to tell you a little bit about me because I attribute this a lot. It coincides with a book that I'm reading that my partner Brian recommended. It's called Your Next 5 Moves by a guy named Patrick Bet David. It's an amazing book. Highly recommend it to anybody. I don't know if I could see myself hanging out with Patrick, to be honest. I don't know if his demeanor, I don't know if I could stand him, honestly. It's just clashing demeanors there, but whatever. I guess I might be just judging him by his voice while he's reading his own book, you know. Anyway, it's a good book. And I'm seeing some similarities between the moments of failure that I've had compared to the author's moments of failure and then the moments of success with his moments of success, and similarities there. And it's really fun to piece these together into see a pattern. I mean, that's so fun. So I thought I'd share this pattern with you guys. So, give you a little insight. When I was in high school, I was a couple of grades ahead on math. Actually, before middle school, even in elementary school, I was a couple grades ahead of math. I've just always been really good with numbers. It's just the thing. And then growing up, I would do crossword puzzles, Sudokus, logic problems with my dad, because he had the same kind of brain. My dad was so much better at math than I was. It was insane how much he was good. He was literally a human calculator. You could ask him any math problem, he would know it. It was really impressive. Anyway, so I kind of inherited a bit of that gift, and I was always doing really well. I always had straight A's. I never faltered from that, and I knew my strengths and weaknesses, right? So math was my strength. Reading and comprehension was a strength, although I was a slow reader. Man, anything I read, it sticks in my brain. And then the thing that was kind of a weakness, was more along the lines of history and remembering history and stuff. I was actually good at writing too, because I like to write. And actually, my dad was a really good writer. He used to write very, very frequently for the local paper. Obviously, back when newspapers were a little bit bigger than they are now. and he would write poems and other things. In fact, before my dad passed away, him and I would communicate through letters, because he was very uncomfortable on the phone. I was very uncomfortable on the phone with him because he was awkward, so it made it awkward for me. And so we decided, you know what, let's just write each other. And that's what we did last, 3 or 4 years, where I was in Oklahoma, he was in Wisconsin. It was all writing. And so Anyway, guys, okay. So I did really well in school, okay? And then outside of school, I went into the military. I did really well there too. Actually, the purpose of this podcast is not to just brag. But in the military, I did super duper well. I actually had a perfect score for the 9mm pistol, a near perfect score for the M4 and the M16. I got so close to perfect on both of those, but not quite. I ended up earning the sharpshooter rank, but not the higher level on those. And then I did not do sharpshooter on shotgun. So I was definitely more into the... Actually, you know what? Shotgun didn't even have that. It was pass or fail, and I passed, okay? It's been a while. But I did really well there, and I don't know if maybe that has anything to do with my math capabilities, but I actually assume it does, because I had a... You get your own... When you're in the military police, you get your own little trainer for, like, the individual guns. And when I was doing the M16, I had this guy who taught me some really detailed instruction. This dude used to be a Marine recon. Guys, that is special forces for the Marine, for the Marines. This dude is a freaking beast. He was super old. I'm saying like super old. And he told me these little intricate details about shooting, including like where to pull the trigger on your finger. Like that's actually really important. And things that no one else was really being taught. Because this was the A school. This wasn't even like a specialized school. This was general military police. But he kind of gave me some hot tips and tricks. And it's a formula. Think back to math. It was just a formula. You do this, you get the result. Okay? And that's the way I looked at it. And that's important as I dive deeper into this stuff. Okay? Again, there is a point to this. I promise. So then, after the Navy, I joined a sales team for... an MLM company. I did well there, pretty well anyway. Not well enough though. When I met my wife, who had three kids, the sales I was doing was great as a single dude. Not so great with a family. And so I ended up shifting gears and going into other things. And eventually that led me to IT work because I found computers to be super easy. It makes sense, right? Math, computers, troubleshooting, it's all the same boat. And you know what? I did really good in IT, so good. I got promoted to an engineering position on the low end of the engineering totem pole. And I did so well there, I ended up becoming a senior engineer. And then I did so well there, I became a senior field engineer, which was a spot reserved for only two other people before me. So I became the third senior field engineer as that company continued to grow. And from what I understand, I was the second best. Okay, there was one of those senior field engineers. Dude was amazing. Okay, like way smarter than me. I would always just sit down and listen when that guy talked, you know? But he taught me some things, you know, and that's the whole point. But I did super well in the engineering space. And then I did super well in business, right? Really good with copywriting. I did really good with Facebook ads and affiliate marketing and marketing in general. Do you know why? I just want to explain this to you guys because this is the similarity between those. And I just told you all the successes. Oh my gosh, there's like a million failures in between each of those, okay? A million and 10 failures, okay? There's so many. Anyway, Patrick, in this book, Your Next Five Moves, he kind of talks about what he calls his solve for X formula. So whenever he has a problem, he systemized the way he troubleshoots that problem, whether it's in business or personal life or what have you. And it kind of outlines all those successes. It's basically because what I was doing was troubleshooting everything. If you're not familiar with the term troubleshooting, essentially what it is it's identifying a root cause to a problem. And it's typically used in like a tech industry, but it can apply to anything, including like doctors and stuff. I'll explain that in just a sec. So troubleshooting is Trying to catch my breath here a little bit. So it's identifying a root cause. Now, the process to troubleshoot something. Now, again, it's typically used in the IT or tech field. If you think about it, like if somebody is having trouble accessing their email, right? That's a symptom, for example. Like, my email's not opening up. And so what do? They call tech support, and tech support's like, oh, your email's not opening up. Perfect. What's the first thing that they should do? Well, we need some information. Are you using your phone, or are we talking on a computer? Is it a laptop? Is it a desktop? Oh, okay, it's a laptop computer. Perfect. Can you take your laptop into another room and try it in a different room? Now, why would you do that? Well, because I need to know if this laptop is wired into the internet or if it's using Wi-Fi. And the average customer that calls in to tech support for something so simple like I can't get to my email, they probably don't know the difference. So I'd say just move your laptop to another room. That way I know for a fact it's on Wi-Fi. Or they'll tell me, oh, I can't, there's wires in here. Oh, describe the wire for me. Perfect. So now I know it's plugged into the internet, right? Simple little things like that. You got to gather the data, the information in a way that the audience understands. So then what I would do is I'd be like, okay, cool. Just go to google.com for me. Go to google.com and that's it. I just want you to see this, the Google search bar. So they go to google.com and it works. Okay, now I know for a fact these folks have internet. That's not the problem. Cool. What kind of email are you using? You notice I didn't even go into Gmail, Apple Mail, Windows Mail. I didn't go into any of that. I first had to establish if they could even get on the internet. And this is troubleshooting, okay? The same thing happens for doctors. Guys, I would go ahead and bet that if I decided to go into the medical field, I would be a fantastic doctor. Because my brain has taught itself through all those little successes with math and with whatever else, okay? It has taught itself how to take a situation and break it down, and we have to know this first, this second, this third, etc. And I'm really good at doing that. And so if I was a doctor and somebody came in and they're like, my throat hurts, I'd be like, oh, okay, is it hard to breathe? Like, gather data, right? Is it hard to breathe? Do you cough? Do you have to blow your nose a lot? Like, just figuring out all the symptoms involved. I have literally seen doctors, guys, Google something in front of me, in front of my wife. You have no idea how much that pissed us off. Like, listen, in the IT field, you Google something. But we feel like if you're in medical school and you're doing 12 years of school, you probably shouldn't have to Google a whole lot. Like, and if you do, I don't know how you graduated. I don't know. Maybe that's just my bias there, my thought process, but I'm not a big fan of doctors. Anyway, my point is troubleshooting is a big thing, and troubleshooting every aspect of life, which includes your business. It includes trading if you're a trader. Okay. If you look at the last 30 days of your trading and you see, okay, 30 days ago I was here. Now I am here. What happened in between? How many days did I win? How many days did I lose? And by how much did I lose? Oh, okay, this day I lost 30% of my account. That's a huge loss. Why did I lose 30%? What did I do? Review the videos. If any of you are in our accountability program, you record every trading session. Excuse me, got the hiccups all of a sudden. Let me tell you something. I record all of my trading sessions as well. And I do it not just because my business partner holds me accountable, but also so that I can learn. I had a lost day the other day. It wasn't 30%, but I had a lost day the other day. You know what I did? I watched my own video and I said, oh, you silly rabbit. You missed this one spot. Like, you didn't notice this. You were not paying enough attention. You lost focus, what have you. This is why you lost. And I was able to identify that for myself. I use the same system, guys. Same exact system. The only difference really is that I'm so used to troubleshooting and finding out causes to problems, especially if it has anything to do with tech. I'm so used to that. It comes as a second nature to me. While as some of you, it's new, and that's totally okay. Just take some practice, take some time. Now, that said, I'm not trying to say I'm perfect, because I'm not. All the failures I told you about, there's also the fact that I'm kind of ish going through a divorce, right? So I have not applied this troubleshooting in my own relationship. It's kind of a big deal. And by the way, guys, it's a Saturday. I'm doing double the walk I usually do during the week, because I don't know why. And so I'm a little bit more out of breath than usual, but I'm almost halfway done. Anyway, I did not do troubleshooting within my own relationship, and there's other areas, even health. Oh, this is what I wanted to tell you guys real quick. I'm just gonna tell you this real quick, and then we'll be wrapping it up. Another example of this troubleshooting stuff. There's this guy, when I was big into just marketing for other companies, there was this guy I loved to follow. His name is Frank Kern. Now, from what I understand, when you get into Frank Kern's actual paid memberships, most of it is kind of bad. Honestly, because it's basically common sense, but that's kind of what I love about the guy. So I used to follow him religiously. Like, I'd listen to every single podcast. I'd watch every single one of his ad videos, you know, just studying the crap out of this guy, because he's super successful. Always has been. He has been for years and years, like way before the internet. You know what I mean? Like, he's been doing marketing for decades. So why not listen to this guy? And what's cool about this guy is, even though he's been doing marketing for so long, he's learned to adapt to the internet and social media. And that's impressive to me. That's like, that's pivoting. That's what you have to do as a business owner. And so the guy has always impressed me. He's also very real, like very authentic. Anyway, I'll tell you Frank Kern's overall strategy. Okay. It's not just a marketing strategy. It's like a life strategy. That's just what I'm going to call it. Okay, so here's what he does. Ready? You're not going to believe this. So he charges, if you want to have like a 1 hour consultation with the guy, it's between $5,000 and $10,000. Okay? $5,000 and $10,000. Now, I had a mentor, his name is Joel Bauer. Joel charges $12,500 for an hour of his time. And I was able to watch those consultations because I was doing Joel's marketing. So I had the privilege of being on his Vimeo account, and I got to see all of those nice little things. Isn't that cool? Anyway, I thought that was really neat. Anyway, but Frank Kern, he charged between $5,000 and $10,000 for an hour of his time. You know what he would do? It's so funny. He'd be like, when was the best year of your revenue as a business? And they'd be like, psh, last year was the best year, and we can't replicate it this year. This year we're down, you know, 10% over last year. And you know what he'd say? He'd be like, okay, what were you doing last year? Oh, we were doing this, this, and this. Are you doing those things this year? No. Go back and do those things. That's all he would do, you guys. He would just be like, he'd be like, what was working before? Do that again. People would pay him $5,000 to $10,000 for that. Isn't that amazing? I don't know. I always found that to be like extremely impressive that he could just identify that. And you know what's funny is that even knowing that and studying Frank Kern the way I did, I was still blind to my own things. And so recently with health, okay, this is why I wanted to bring that up, is because, you know, troubleshooting, I already talked about troubleshooting in business and stuff, and troubleshooting in trading, troubleshooting in relationships that I have not done very well, and now troubleshooting health. So the other day, this was about three weeks ago, okay, quick little mini note. There was this truck that like drove down the road, and then the truck turned around and came back, and then it parked like, I don't know, a ways away, maybe 300 feet away. And I saw him park on the side of the road. So he didn't park in a driveway or anything, just side of the road. He got out, and I've been watching him. He went past the little bike trail thing I'm walking on into like the field of the park, and he's got a big backpack on, and he's got camouflage. This is not a hunting place. And he's like walking towards a church that's like on the other side of the river. Maybe he's going fishing. That's what he's doing. He's going fishing. Yeah, he's going fishing. Okay, I see his fishing pole now. It was just weird. I was like, what the crap is he doing? Now I see it. Okay, anyway. So, what was I saying? Gosh, squirrel! Okay. Health, right. So, 3 weeks ago, I did this little troubleshooting self-analysis on my health. And I was like, dude, you weigh more than you've ever weighed in your life again. That's happened 3 times now in the last 3 years. Where I thought I've hit the max I've ever weighed in my life and I'd never do it again. And then I hit something higher later. And then I hit something higher like now. Okay? Never weighed this much in my life. And I'm like, what are you doing? I remember back when I was an engineer, my first year of travel as an engineer, I gained a ton of weight because naturally, right? And people kept telling me, oh yeah, you know, you travel, you have to eat fast food. Like, of course you're going to gain weight. That irked me. That irked me so much because I'm like, no, I'm not going to do the standard typical crap. So I decided to really take my health seriously at that moment. And the next year of traveling, my second year of traveling, I lost over 45 pounds. I got down to 180 pounds. And I was well on my way to my goal, which was actually 170, and I was so close. And then I didn't. So I just decided I wanted to eat junk food and crap. And ever since, I've never gotten back even close to that. And entrepreneurship didn't help. The stresses over the last few years didn't help. But I can't blame those things. It's my own choices that have gotten me to where I am, right? So I did the Frank Kern thing. I said, okay, look back. When were you happy with your health? Oh, it was that second year of travel when I lost the 45. I was at 180 pounds, close to my goal. I felt great and I looked great and it was amazing. What were you doing then? I'm like, oh, yeah, I was doing this amazing routine from Kino Body, a guy named Greg O'Gallagher. He's like this, honestly, he was... From what I understand in his history, he's basically a spoiled brat who is really good at health stuff. And so he turned that into his career, but he's never been hurting for money because of his parents. He grew up in a wealthy home. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy or anything. Sometimes you can see the arrogance a little bit, but I mean, the dude is like ripped beyond ripped, you know? Anyway, so I'm like, I followed this guy's program. That's what I did for that year. And what I would do is I would buy a week's worth of a gym membership, or a month even, depending on how long my trip was for travel. I'd do a whole month of a gym membership in the local gym close by. I wouldn't use the hotel's gym. It wasn't good enough. It didn't have the equipment I needed. So I would find a gym. I'd be there at 4 a.m. A lot of times it was like an Anytime Fitness. And I'd be there at 4 a.m. doing the workout thing. And then for lunch and dinner, if I had to do fast food, it would be Subway. And it was a very calculated sub. I would tell them how many scoops of meat. I would tell them exactly how many vegetables, exactly how much sauce to put on. Like, very detailed, and probably annoyed the crap out of every Subway employee. But whatever. It was important to me, and I lost 45 pounds. So I was like, what was working? Boom, that was working. Great. Why don't you do that again? And that was 3 weeks ago. And I thought, okay, I got to recalculate all the stuff. Like, how many calories, how much protein, how much carbs, how much fat per day, per meal. And you know, and calculate. So I calculated it all that week, and I bought the groceries. And the last 2 weeks, I've been sticking to it. And the only difference here is that I'm not doing the same workouts, because guys, honestly, I can't. I am so badly out of shape. I can't do the same workouts yet. However, I found a way to build up to those workouts, and I've been doing those consistently. So. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. It's been 2 weeks, and honestly, I feel really good after 2 weeks. I'm going to weigh myself this morning. I bet you I had to have lost at least 5 pounds over the last 2 weeks. But anyway, so that's health troubleshooting. My point in this whole 24-minute podcast so far is that troubleshooting is key to success. It happened to Patrick Beck David. It happened in every moment of success in my life. It was all because I was good at troubleshooting. I was really good at finding the root cause to a problem and then finding a solution that wouldn't just fix the immediate problem, but would fix that problem forever in the future. Like, that's the idea. That's the idea. That's what it is. So let me tell you another quick example. And that's with Brian with trading. Okay. Brian had this great idea. So Brian was trading. He's a really good trader, guys. My partner, Brian, just fantastic trader. He really gets the markets. It's really impressive. There are days where I'm like, dude, you're a better trader than me because he sees things I don't see. The way we both analyze the market is very different. Very different. And neither of them is like bad. They're both great. It's just really fun to watch. Anyway, so Brian had a large loss day a couple weeks ago. And this is not his first one. This is like, this is many big losses. And you know, but what's really cool about it is that number one, he didn't feel bad about it. It happens, you know, it sucks, but it happens. Instead, he had a proactive approach of why did it happen or what went wrong, right? And what am I going to do moving forward to fix it? So not just fix this immediate problem of having a big loss on my account, but what am I going to do to prevent having another big loss like this ever again? Rooting that cause out and then rooting out a solution that's going to fix that root problem. And his solution was quite fantastic. He's like, I need an accountability partner. Not an accountability partner that sees it after the fact, because that's what he had. He had me. Every time he would lose, I would analyze for him and I would help him. Right? Every time I lose, he helps me. Okay? It's a partnership, okay? But what he's talking about now is an accountability partner, somebody or multiple peoples that will be on with him and trading with him, so that when he's in the moment, so he has four trade opportunities. If he doesn't win one trade in four, he's done for the day and he takes the hit. Okay, so like, meaning like four losses for him is like 10%. So worst case scenario, he hops on to trade, he loses four in a row right off the gate. That's 10% loss on the account. That's the worst case scenario. So there's absolutely no reason to have more than a 10% loss on any given day. Now that only happens once every 2 or 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, and every other day he's gaining 10% a day. So it's really not a big deal. So, okay. Sorry guys. I'm really out of breath. I'm 3/4 of the way done. Woohoo. So he said, look, I just want it to where if I lose four in a row, somebody is there on Zoom with me telling me, hey, you just lost four in a row. Don't you dare take another trade today. You're not allowed to trade until tomorrow. That would stop it. So then instead of having a massive 40 or 50% loss because emotions enter in the picture, revenge trading happens. Somebody is there to stop that so that he has a little loss that he can make up for in 1 or 2 days. You know what I mean? So guys, that's the plan. And I thought that was really good troubleshooting. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So I hope this was helpful to you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate you. And I will talk to you later.